We're going to start on page 822, four lines in the bottom of the page. Perek Tezayin, we're going to start Pasuk Yud Beis. Okay, so the argument over here between Moshe, Kairach, all those guys are getting pretty heavy. And Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to make peace. So Vayishlach Moshe, these two psukim we learned. Vayishlach Moshe l'kira l'dosim v'avirim b'nei Aliyav. Moshe Rabbeinu called for dosim v'avirim b'nei Aliyav. To summons them. In other words, he said, you know, we should always try to make peace. For Yemron, they said, Leinale, we're not going up. Now, Leinale, normally they should have said, we're not coming. Why did they say Leinale? Their mouth prophesized that they're not going to go up, they're going to go down into the ground. Because eventually the earth opened up and they all got swallowed in. So they should have said, Moshe Rabbeinu said, come. They should have said, lo novel, we're not coming. Instead it says, Leinale, we're not going to go up. Rashi says, because they descended alive into the ground. And then they said like this, Ama'at ki elisanu, is it not enough that you brought us up? Me'edet zavas chalud v'vashni, they called Egypt. Remember this passage we also learned last week, that is it not enough that you're taking us up from the land of milk and honey, meaning Egypt, Lamisenu b'midbar, to kill us in the desert. Kisistarer leino gamistarer, you want to dominate us over. In other words, they're telling him, look how bad you are. You expect to rule us, you expect us to listen to you, but look what you did. You took us out from a beautiful land, Egypt. You took us into a desert. And then they continued, you didn't even bring us to the land of milk and honey that you promised to us. That you would have given us a field and a vineyard. At least if you would have did that, you know, you would have been worth something. You didn't even do anything. All they said, you did negative. And you see how unappreciative people can be, especially those in Aviram. And then he said like this, Ha'ene anoshim ha'im tenakir, even if you will gouge out our eyes, that means, even if you knock out our eyes, to threaten us, Leinale, we're still not going to go up. In other words, he said basically to Moshe Rabbeinu, anything that you're going to do that you think is going to get us to go, it's not going to happen. Okay? Whatever it is, it's not happening. Okay. What?
What kind of expression is this gouge out or gouge out the eyes?
Why
did we use such an expression?
He said, even if you make us blind, because a blind person is considered like dead, the Gemara says. He said, even if you basically knock out our eyes, you know, threaten us, that if we don't come, you're going to knock out our eyes, we're still not going to do it. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu is the eyes of the community, the leaders of the eyes, you know. This is all a challenge against the leadership of the Jewish people. And they're saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, even if you knock out our eyes, nothing's going to happen to us. We're not going to do it. Okay, so Vayichal Moshe Ma'id. Moshe Rabbeinu became very, very angry. And he said, Vayemer Hashem, he said to Hashem, Al Tefen Al Menchosim, do not, and again, this passage we also learned last week, don't turn to either their gifts, their offerings, their ketores, their davening of mincha. That's what we left off last week, about the importance of davening mincha. Mincha is the most important tefillah of the day. Because the Gemara says, Eliyahu Navi, when the 400 idols of the Baal, so it says, Eliyahu Navi was answered, mincha time. In Sfarim it's explained, Chassidus elaborates on it also a lot, why is the mincha unique from all the prayers? So simply it says, because Shachris is not too hard to do. You know, you get up early. Before you go to work, you daven Shachris. Ma'ariv, you come home at night, you finish work, you go daven Ma'ariv. Mincha is smack in the middle of the day. Mincha is the middle of the day. So just technically speaking, it's much harder to break away from work in the middle of Mincha, especially in the winter, you know, to go daven Mincha. So therefore, Mincha is very important. It's also brought down, extrapolating a little bit, that in the life of a person, there's also Shachris, Mincha, and Arvis. Shachris is when you're young. So before you go out into the world, you know, you're single, you're learning, you have no responsibility of a family. You know, that's the chakras of life. Then you have arvis of life, the nighttime, that's the retirement. You know, so it says, during chakras, before a person has all the burdens of making a living and all that stuff, it's very easy to be a religious Jew. You retire, you're bored anyway, so you go to shul, you go to learn, you have anything better to do. You know, how much poker can you play a whole day? Your bridge, whatever. But mincha time of life represents the prime of a person's life when they're working, making a family, and they're working, making a living. And, you know, that's when it's much more difficult to keep mitzvahs. So therefore, the Gemara says, mincha, both on a daily basis and on a lifetime basis, mincha is the most important prayer. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to them, it's mincha time, like you said before, now everybody's drunk, it's mincha time. Hashem said, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Hashem, don't accept their mincha prayer, because that's the most important prayer of the day. Hashem says, don't accept it. Don't have anything to do with them. Huh?
Why?
Why? He's saying Hashem shouldn't listen to Korach? Korach is bringing this gift. Korach wants to do all the thing. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, God, don't accept it. Don't make it show. And he said, I never carried even one donkey. I never did anything to them. Okay. What?
Does it say that he publicly announced it or privately? Ask Hashem.
Privately. I mean, it doesn't say publicly, but probably he said he spoke to Hashem. I mean, he spoke to Hashem usually in private. He didn't text or email to Hashem.
But in front of them, he said...
No.
Was it ever instant?
Was what?
The talking instant.
Talking was instant. Instant communication.
So it wasn't the way that we communicate.
No. Ours takes time. By our davening, we need the angels to help push it up. Our prayers don't have enough koyach, don't have enough strength in it, not enough oomph. So we need the angels to help schlep it up. You know, it goes a very slow conveyor belt up, and we need the angels to push it up.
Eventually gets there.
Moshe Rabbeinu spoke straight to God. He had a direct line. His phone calls were local, not overseas. Okay, so he says like this. You know what? We learned this last week. And we really... Okay, let's go through this quickly. You should all be ready for Hashem. Each one should take his frying pan, put the potatoes, bring it, each one his frying pan, 250 people. Okay, each one of you take the pans of potatoes. Each man took the pan, put a fire on it, put the potatoes. So everybody stood in front of the oil maid. Koyach gathered together all the Jews at the door of the oil maid. And Hashem came down. This is where we're up to, by the way. Okay. So Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron. By the way, how did Korach gather all the people together? So we learned that Korach said to everybody, I'm not in this for myself. This is really for you guys. You know, the firstborn, look what they did to you. They took away your rights. They gave it to the Levium. You used to be the big machers. Then they took it away from you. And he goes to all the other Jews and says, look at this. You guys are nothing. Yisraelim, simple guys. You know, here's a Kohanim and Levium took everything from themselves. So Korach actually started telling everybody, I'm doing this for you, not for me. Okay, so Vaynab Hashem HaMeshalim, Hashem said to Mesh, He bodlu miteicho eida azeis, get away from this, separate yourself from this nation, from this assembly, v'achala eisim kerega, and I will destroy them instantaneously. So obviously it's interesting, Mesh Rabbeinu says to Hashem, don't turn to their mincha. Right? So Hashem says, you know what? Get away from them. I want to destroy them all together. Okay? We're going to learn a few psukim to discuss this. Vayiplu al pneim, so Moshe and Aaron fell on their face. Vayeman, they said like this. Kel elekei aruches l'chol basar. God, the God of the spirits of all flesh. Ha'ish echad yechtov ha'kolayda tiksev. You're angry at a few people, one person, and you're letting it out at everybody. Okay? So the question over here is, didn't Hashem know that? Rashi gives a mashal. When a king gets angry at a bunch of people, somebody does something wrong, yeah? The king doesn't know who did it. So what does the king do? He kills everybody. Right? He doesn't know. What does the teacher do? They punish the whole class. But he says, you Hashem, you know who's exactly who's who. So why do you want to kill everybody? So 1 second. So the question over here is, number one, the Mefarsh, so the question is, Moshe Rabbeinu was right. When you're angry at a few people, you want to get angry at everybody. So why did Hashem say, separate from everybody and let me destroy them? So there's a few answers. Some of Hashem answer that he didn't mean for everybody. When Hashem said, Ibadu mitecha eida hazeis, he meant Kairach v'adosei, Kairach and his group. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that because Kairach gathered all the Jews together, what did Kairach do? He gathered kol ha'eda. All the Jews were gathered together. Kairach riled them up overnight. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem said, go away from this eda and I will kill them, Moshe Rabbeinu thought Hashem saying, everybody of the eda that gathered around the Ohel Moed. Hashem says, no, that's not what I meant. I meant the aid of Kairach, not all the Jews. That's what some Mefarshim learn. Other Mefarshim learn, Hashem did want to kill everybody. Because look what Kairach did. He gathered all the Jews, Pesach Ohel Moed. So they were all part of it. Not only that, the Mefarshim take it a step further. The Gemara says, Mi sheyesh b'yodi limcheis v'lei micha is called a Rasha. Whoever has the ability to protest when something bad happens, and they don't, they're liable. They're called a Rasha. Even though you're not doing anything. But you're not protesting what somebody is doing, that makes you a Rasha. So Hashem is saying, basically, Hashem is saying to Moshe, that granted, it's only a few people, but they didn't protest. And if they didn't protest, your chumash is here. No, I can't teach if you're not here next to me. I look at your face, I see what to speak. Shabbos, I look at my wife's face and I see what to speak. You need here, you here. So it says that Kairach, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Hashem, why are you getting angry at everybody? Hashem says, what do you mean why? They didn't stop it. If you don't stop it, the Gemara uses the expression, Shma mino nichulu. And we find this a few places in Teir, which is very interesting. The story of Shechem, you know, Shechem raped Dina, okay? So the Rambam asks, in fact, the Rambam asks, but the Rishonim and Mefarshim of Chumash, the Medrashim ask, but the Rambam means it down in Hilchos Melachim, the Rambam asks, what right did the brothers have to kill out the whole city if Shechem was the only guy that did something wrong? So the Rambam says, because they didn't protest. They were supposed to set up a court system, which was one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, to set up a court system to punish Shechem for raping Dina. They didn't, so they didn't protest. So that shows they're happy with it. There's another famous story in the Gemara, Kamtze bar Kamtze, the famous lead up to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. What happened by the meal, when the guy threw him out of the meal, and he was willing to pay half the meal, the whole meal, and the guy threw him out anyway. So what happened? What did the guy say? The fact that the scholars were sitting there and didn't stop him, that means they were happy with what was going on. It was a very important thing, by the way. The Gemara says clearly, what did that Bar Kamsa say? The fact that the Chachamim are sitting in Vilei Micha Bayadim, Shma Mino Nichluhu. the Gemara says, that means that the rabbis were happy with what went on. What do you mean they were happy? If they didn't protest, that means you're happy. Hashem is telling Meshe ben Kontes, the son of Hashem, that Hashem meant all the Jews. He didn't only mean Kairach. Why? Because the fact that there's a group of people, don't forget, there's 600,000 Jews, okay, men, between 20 and 60. There were 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds. I mean, there were, you know, a lot of people. There's 250 guys, plus Kairach and two dozen Aviram. So there's 253 guys, yeah? And the rest of Klal Yisrael didn't protest it. Which means, silence is admission. So therefore Hashem is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, no, they're all guilty. So Moshe Rabbeinu, still the Jew lover that he is, he says, you're going to get angry at everybody, not everybody's sinning. Don't punish them for not protesting. It's not fair, don't punish them so much. They don't deserve death for what they're doing. But you see from here, the Mefarshim explain that a person needs to, if there's something being done wrong, you can't just sit back and let things be done, especially when there's a Chil Hashem or whatever it is, you need to do something.
And it's okay for the parents to see the children, they do something wrong, and they have to shut up their mouth?
No, if you have the ability to stop it, you have to stop it. Okay, I don't want to elaborate on this too much, but there's, sometimes it says in the dinim that you have a mitzvah, hechech techech samisecho, you have to admonish somebody, afilu mea pa'amim, even 100 times, until they hit you. That's when you have to stop. When they start beating you up, then you could stop. Yet there's another gemara, that's a pasuk in Chumash. Yet there's another gemara that says, Mutiv shiu shegigin, valyu mezidim. Sometimes, kshem she mitzvah leimer dovet hanishma, kach mitzvah l'shalei leimer dovet she'en hanishma. Just like there's a mitzvah to say things that people will listen to, sometimes there's a mitzvah not to say things that you know they're not going to listen to. Huh? In other words, yes. Sometimes, yeah, but this seems to be contradictory.
Yeah. No, it's about
No, you either have a mitzvah or you don't have a mitzvah. If you have a mitzvah of admonishing somebody, then how can the Torah say sometimes don't tell them because they're not going to listen?
Because you might actually be pushing them to...
Okay, anyway, when you write a commentary on halacha, a different poskim, and even the Alter Rebbe contradicts himself. It says different place in Shulchan Aruch, the Alter Rebbe answers this contradiction differently. But bottom line is, in certain places it said, if it's something explicitly mentioned in the Torah, explicitly, for instance, the Torah says, don't eat chazer, okay? So then the din is, if you see somebody eating chazer, you have to tell him, even if you know he's not going to listen.
How many times?
It says, echeach, techeach. The Gemara says, what's the double expression? Afilu mea pa'amim, even 100 times. And by the way, halacha says 100 doesn't mean 100. 99 plus 1 means forever. Okay, then you have, if it's not an explicit thing mentioned in Chumash, it's derived from a pasuk, even if it's biblically forbidden. But it's not clearly in the Chumash. It's only derived from whatever. So then the din is, if you know you're not going to listen, they're not going to listen, you don't tell it to them. But there is a din. Hello, let me finish. I would say I'm older than you, but I don't know. Huh? No, that's a compliment that she's young. Okay, anyway. So it says, now you made me forget what I want to say.
You
all day, I'm forgetting one thing, but... Now, there's a din that b'makom sheyesh chilul Hashem in chelkin kaved afilo the rav. There's a gemara, the Rambam brings it down. In fact, those that learn Rambam, it was brought down at the beginning of Hilchos Sanhedrin, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch in a few places. It says, in a place where there's a desecration of Hashem's name, mm-hmm. there is no respect for anybody, not even to a rav. If a Rav is doing Chilul Hashem, you have no right to give him respect. You have to stop the desecration of Hashem's name. In this case, there's a big Chilul Hashem going on over here. Saying that Moshe Rabbeinu is doing things on his own, and Hashem is not telling him to do it, when they knew that everything Moshe Rabbeinu says is not his own, it's coming straight from Hashem. This is a big concept of Chilul Hashem. And they had a big obligation to stop it. And they didn't. So Hashem is getting angry and says, listen, you know, they all deserve to die. So he says, Moshe and Aaron, get away from them. I don't want you to be with them. And let me kill everybody else. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe and Aaron come and says, okay, you know what? It's not as grave as a sin as Korach and Dathan and Avinu themselves. So at least forgive them for that. Okay? Now, should somebody tell the kids in Yonim, if you know they're not going to listen, sometimes it's better not to tell. Halachically, it's better not to tell.
This is the second. When they spy, they do. It's the second time they.
This is the fourth time, as she said before. Okay. Now,
you don't have to nudge your children to do a mitzvah?
Until they, as long as they still talk to you, you can do it. Okay. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is being told, in fact, in Farshim say even more. It says, Kel Elokei Aruch Yislacho Basar. What does Kel mean? Kel is Midas HaRachamim. Okay? Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanun. Kel, in fact, is a pasuk in Tillim that says, Chesed, Kel, Kol Hayim. The name Aleph Lamed Kel is a midah of Chesed. Elokim is Gvura, Yudke Vavke is midah Sarachamim. But the level of Chesed, that's the attribute of Kel. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Hashem, Kel, Elokei Ruchus, please have the concept of Rachmonus, of Chesed, and therefore don't do it. Okay, so Hashem accepted it. Vayidaber Hashem u'Moshe le'emor, so Hashem said to Moshe. And he said, Daber al'ed le'emor, speak, okay, you're right, I'm not going to punish the whole community. I'm just going to punish Dathan and Aviram and Korach and so on. Daber al'ed le'emor, he'olu misaviv, get to go away from being around, le'mishkan Korach, Dathan and Aviram. Okay? So therefore, now if you're going to have anything to do with them, Hashem says, then I'm going to punish you also. And they connect this to what happened with Mrs. Light. When Light was saved, when Light was saved from Zdain, so Light's wife was also not a nice person. She was screaming at Light, are you doing Achnosis Archimia? What are you doing? She was only saved in the merit of Light, who was saved only in the merit of Avram. So Hashem said, when you're with Light and his daughters, right, and the wife, when they're running out of the city, so the Mefarshim say, over here, just like over there, Hashem said to her, don't turn back. Because the truth of the matter is, that shows you're still connected. If you're looking back, you're connected. So Hashem is telling Light, then, don't separate yourself from them completely. As long as you're still looking at, you might not be part of them. But if you're looking at them, you're still connected. And if you're connected, then you deserve to die like everybody else. So Hashem says over here, he bodlu mitecha edah ra, says you have to get away, tell him to go away completely. Even around, from the dwelling place of Korach, Dathan and Aviram. Because if not, the Mefarshim say they're going to be part of it. Okay, so after all is said and done, we'll still see what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing. You know, there's an interesting thing about looking and connecting. We all know, teachers always say this, it's better to be outside the classroom looking in, than to be inside the classroom looking out. Okay? Because if you're outside the classroom looking in, it means you want to be in the room. If you enter the classroom looking out, that means you want to be out of the room. So the same thing, you look at something, you're looking at something, it shows you're still connected, you want to be part of it. And this, Moshe Rabbeinu, was Hashem's telling him, if they're part of it, they're going to die. Because the truth is, they were chayev, because they didn't protest. So they're part of the sin. So that's the story. In fact, there's a very interesting, it's called a chakir in halacha. There's a few general mitzvahs. The question is, for the general, I'll give you examples, you'll see in a second. Is it a general aveda, or it's the aveda that you're particularly dealing with? For instance, there's a mitzvah in the Torah, lifnei ivel lesitin michshol. Before a blind person, you're not allowed to make a stumbling block. Which means, you're not allowed to help somebody sin. You're not allowed to help somebody sin. It's a negative commandment in the Torah. You're not allowed to assist somebody sinning. Now that's a general mitzvah. For any sin, you're not allowed to help somebody sin. Right? So the poskim discuss in this halachic question, if I help somebody sinning, am I part of the sin they're committing? Or has nothing to do with the sin they're committing? It's a general sin that I have not to help you sin. Understand? I'll give you an example where you'll understand it. If I help somebody commit idolatry, I help somebody worship idols. Am I worshiping idols? Or I'm not, have anything to do, I don't have anything to, what sin am I transgressing? Am I transgressing the sin of idol worshiping? Or am I, because that's what I'm helping them do? Or am I getting a sin that the Torah says don't help somebody sin, but it has nothing to do with idol worshiping? What's the difference? There's a very big difference in halacha. For idol worship, you have to give up your life. Right? So now, if I'm helping somebody commit idolatry, commit aveda zara, do I have to give up my life not to help somebody do it or not? If it's part of the sin of aveda zara, then I have to give up my life. Because it's a bizrayat aveda zara, it's an offshoot of idol worshipping. If it has nothing to do with it, then I don't have to give up my life. I'm not allowed to help you sin. I'm not sinning aveda zara. I'm helping you, making it easy for you to sin, but I don't have to give up my life. That's the difference. And the same thing, by the way, is in the positive mitzvah, the Achreinim, the Rishenim, and Achreinim discuss, of Echech Techech Samisecha. If I see you doing something wrong, I have a mitzvah to admonish you. Right? And what happens if I don't admonish you? I'm transgressing a positive mitzvah. Is the positive mitzvah connected to what you're doing? Or has nothing to do with what you're doing? It's a general mitzvah I have to admonish you.
If you have somebody to steal.
So what is the situation?
The post can discuss both ways. It's machlekes, really.
So
if you have somebody to steal.
Huh?
If you shoot somebody, if this house, you're going to have a lot of things to steal. You're part of a robbery,
No, not in Torah law.
Yeah.
Not in Torah law?
No.
What is the situation?
It's a big, big difference in Torah law and American law, and in secular law. If I... What? Not in Torah law.
Right.
There is that you help somebody sin. If I give somebody, God forbid, I give somebody a gun, okay, and say, do me a favor, kill that guy.
So
in American law, I would be liable for murder, right? In Torah law, ein shliach ledvar aveda, there's no shliach when it comes to sin. Shammai, not Beisham, Shammai holds, yes, shliach ledvar aveda, but everybody, Hillel and everybody, halacha is not like that, in the Gemara Kedushin, but ein shliach ledvar aveda. There's no sin, there's no agent when it comes to sin. If I tell you to do a sin, and you do it, as my shliach, I'm not chayev.
No,
the shliach that did it is chayev. Even if you pay them to do it. And besides the fact the Gemara learns it out from Psukim, the Gemara also says there's a logic. Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishaymin.
So
the teacher tells you to do one thing, The student tells you to do something else. Who are you supposed to listen to? Because God says, don't kill. I told you kill. No. So I can say, wait a minute, you're listening to me. No, you're supposed to listen to God. Why are you listening to me? You're supposed to listen to God. So Gemara says the logic, why ain't Shlich of Dvar
Aveda? To use this Chachma or just...
To what?
I mean, if somebody is telling you to do something, you have to use your brain to do it or not to do it, right?
Right. But that's what I'm saying. That's why the halacha is, well, besides the Gemara learns out from Pesukim also. But the halacha is, you can be an agent. If I drive the getaway car of a murder, since civil law, you can get killed, capital punishment for murder. Even though all you did was drive away the car. In Torah law, it's nothing. I'm not saying, you know, that you didn't do anything wrong. Between you and God, you got to deal with tshuva. But the courts can't do anything to you.
That's interesting.
What?
Rabbeinu, if somebody quit drinking.
What?
Drinking, you know, mashke.
God forbid, yeah. it depends how much.
He has to separate himself from all kinds of drinks, right?
Correct.
Could he serve them to other people?
Should he?
Mm-hmm.
You ask halachically?
Yes.
Or psychologically?
Halachically.
Halachically, why can't you serve drinks?
He has to separate, according to Torah, he has to separate himself from drinking.
So he doesn't?
So why he has...
Yeah, but over here, the fact that they didn't protest what Kedah did means they agreed with him. They didn't do anything wrong, they just didn't protest what he did. Technically, even a nazir could pour drinks for somebody else. I mean, a nazir could drink whiskey, I'm saying, but not wine. He could pour drinks, he's not doing anything else.
Pour wine for somebody else?
Yeah. Yeah, he's not drinking it. A nazir could touch wine, he can't drink it. But if this guy is allowed to... In fact, there's an interesting question. By the rule of Ein Shliach LeDvar Aveda, though he said you can't be an agent for sin, mm-hmm. What happens if it's a sin for the sender but not for the agent? Or it's a sin for the agent, not for the sender?
What do you mean?
What case is there? The Gemara gives a case like this. A Kohen cannot marry a divorcee.
Yeah.
Correct?
Okay.
What happens if a Kohen sends a Shliach to do kedushin with a divorcee,
yes,
for the kohen?
So.
Is he a shliach or not? Now for the shliach, there's no sin. He's not a kohen.
He
can marry a divorcee. It's not forbidden for him to marry a divorcee. But the guy that sent him can't. So the question is there a din of shliach in that case? Instead, because for him it's not a sin, but for the sender it's sin. So you look at the sender, that's the whole question of Allah. But that's not for now. That's when you learn Gemara Kedushin. We're going to get this. No, we learned that already in the beginning of the second paragraph. Okay. Pasi Kofi, 5 lines in the end of the page. A24. Can you imagine, even after all is said is done, Hashem is telling him, get away from Kairach and Dasan Vavinam, I'm going to kill them all. Yeah? Meshe Rabbeinu still went. And Ve'elcha Achrav Zikne Yisrael. Meshe Rabbeinu got up to make a final plea. And he said, and by the way, the Mefarshim explained, he gave up on Kedach already. But the Dasan Avirim he went to. And this, I didn't see it, but this is another interesting logical thing that you see over here. Remember when Meshe Rabbeinu went to Kedach to make peace? Kedach ignored him. So then Meshe Rabbeinu went to Dasan Vavirim. But they didn't ignore him. They answered him. So that's why the Mefarshim say, why did he go now to Dasan Vavirim, not to Kedach?
Because
he still tried, he gave up on Kedach. Dasan Vavirim, he said there was still hope. Why, huh? In relationships, fighting is better than apathy.
What is fighting is better than what?
Apathy.
What does mean apathy?
Apathy means I don't care about you, I ignore you, I have nothing to do with you.
Disregard this.
Pardon the expression, couples that fight
is
better than couples that ignore each other.
They back to back, they're not face.
Because when you fight, or for that matter, even siblings, you know, siblings fight with each other, Baruch Hashem, it's okay. When they have apathy, means they don't care, they just, you don't exist, that's much worse. And that's why Korach was apathetic to Moshe Rabbeinu. He ignored him. He didn't even bother answering. Moshe Rabbeinu said to him before, "Vayem Meshal Korach." They ignored him. We learned before, right? So he went to Dasan Aviram. What was Dasan Aviram's advantage? And Moshe Rabbeinu tried again, because they answered him with chutzpah. When you answer him with chutzpah, then you have a chance. And this is very interesting. Chabad saw this very clearly. Those of you that are around in the 60s. When the American Revolution began during the Vietnam War, right? So then there were a lot of Bali Tshuvas in the 60s. Tremendous amount of Bali Tshuvas. Because when you went out to put on tefillin, like you had a table on campus, to put on tefillin, to do something Jewish, the students would come and fight with you. They would fight, argue with you, you don't know what you're doing, But there was a relationship. In the 80s, there were much, much less Bali Tshuvas. Why? In the 80s, the attitude of the world, of the college world, was apathetic. You have a tefillin table? You want to do it? Do it. We're ignoring you. They walk right by. They don't even argue with you. So you have, there's no way of getting them. You can't get somebody if they don't fight with you. Or they talk to you. If they ignore you, how are you going to get them? That's very interesting in human nature. So the Torah is telling us, Moshe Rabbeinu gave up on Korach because he didn't bother answering them. Comes to Dasan Avinam, he went. Now that Moshe Rabbeinu went, so now everybody went with him. Who are the Ziknei Yisrael? Those are the 70 Iskenim, and No?
Judges?
These are the 70 elders that Moshe Rabbeinu eventually put into the Beis Din. So it says, he brings down, let me see, just says this. Okay, he brings down, the Mamleis brings down like this. Grammatically, the pasuk doesn't make sense. If you just grammar, it says, Vayokam Moshe, Vayelech Adosim Vavir, Vayelech Achon Azikna Yisrael. Okay, the bus says like this, translating it literally, Moshe Rabbeinu got up, went to Dasan Aviram, and the elders went after him. Grammatically, the bus should have said, Moshe and the elders went to Korach went to Dasan Aviram. It says funny, Moshe Rabbeinu got up, and he went, and following him went the Skenim. It should have said, Moshe and the Skenim went to Dasan Aviram. So he explained what happened over here like this. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go first, out of humility. He said, you know what? Let the elders go first. Let the elders go first. You know, also, to add to this, Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's a personal fight against me. So let them go to try to negotiate a peace. I'll be right after them. The elder said, no. We're not going to go in front of you. That's not respect to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the elder said, we're not going. So Moshe Rabbeinu went himself. When they saw Moshe Rabbeinu went himself, they said, it's not nice that he should go himself. So the elders followed him.
In the fight, is it better somebody in the middle or face to face to solve the problem?
It depends what type of fight it is. I'm saying, it depends what type of fight. Here Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go straight. Okay. He spoke to them saying like this, to the community. He said, separate yourself from the tent of these people, and don't even touch any items that belong to them, unless you will perish because of their sins. What this means is, Kerach, we learned, was extremely, extremely wealthy. Right? Kerach was the richest man. You can imagine, Jews are still Jews. They hear Kerach's going to die. Man, there's a lot of money there. Let's go grab it. So Hashem said, listen, you touch the money, you're part of them. Again, like by light. Don't touch, don't look, don't touch. And he said, don't touch anything that belongs to them, lest you will be part of it. It's an interesting story with the Alter Rebbe, when there was the Russian-Napoleon War, okay? So there's a big fight amongst the Jewish leaders who should win, Napoleon or Russia. Bottom line was, Napoleon, if he won, if he conquered Russia, it would have been better physically for the Jews. But if Russia won, it would have been better spiritually for the Jews. So these were the Talmidim of the Maggid. There's a big fight between Alter Rebbe and Baruch Mezhebush, who was the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. Bottom line is, the Alter Rebbe was on the Russian side. And he did a lot. He had a chosid of Meshe Meisels, who knew the language, he was a spy. Anyway, when the Alter Rebbe was running, at the beginning, Napoleon went very deep into Russia. And late at the end, he lost the battle and Russia won. But at the beginning, Napoleon was conquering Russia. And when Alter Rebbe was running away, which eventually caused Alter Rebbe to pass away in Chavdal HaTevis, so Alter Rebbe took out all his possessions, and after he left the city, he sent a shliach back to burn down the house.
Yeah, because he was saying that Napoleon was...
Because Napoleon was witchcraft. Yeah. And in fact, it says as soon as Napoleon came to the city, the first place he went was to the Alter Rebbe's house to get an object of the Alter Rebbe that he can do kishif in, witchcraft in. And Alter Rebbe sent back the shlich to burn down the house. And when he came back, the house was burned down, and he realized he couldn't do anything. Anyway, the bottom line of the story is, Hashem is telling them, you want to be safe from evil? You can't have anything to do with it. You're going to take one of the objects, whatever it is. He said, anything they own, you cannot take or touch or anything like that, because then you're going to be part of them. The mamash, you're going to be part of them.
The guy from Mafia gives tzedakah.
You cannot take it.
Yeah,
you could take it. But you take the money, man. Can you take money from a person who got the money through sin? How do you know all the money that you're taking is the money exactly he got from? Maybe he had kosher money too.
The guy is a murderer. He has prostitution. He's a bad person. No?
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
Money is always pure.
Doesn't need to go to the mikvah.
Money is always.
What about this money?
No, here David Hashem says you can't. Kerach. But like by his dime. Hashem said, you know, nothing. Don't even look back. Okay, in other words, everything was to be destroyed, the Chayiv Misa, and it's interesting, Rashi is going to say soon, because when the earth opened up and Kerach fell in, everybody fell in, men, women, children. It says, look how big bad Machlekes is. Normally, Bezdin Shemaila, the heavenly court, doesn't punish you until you're 20. And here, even babies died, to show how terrible Machlekes fighting is, that even everybody's drawn into the fight. So he says, don't have anything to do with it. Okay. V'yalu me'al mishkan. V'yalu me'al mishkan kerech v'dosan v'avirim. The people, taka listened. They went away. V'dosan v'avirim yosan itovim. V'dosan v'avirim came out erect, you know, like with chutzpah, Rashi says. Pesach Olam and the shame of B'nai V'tapam. The women and the kids, and like Rashi says over here from the Medrash, that even here babies were killed. Even the babies were killed because of the crime of Machlekes. This is how you're going to know. Ki Hashem shlochani lasis es kol ha'maisim ha'ele, that Hashem sent me to do all of this stuff. Ki lei mi libi. It wasn't for my own, it wasn't for me myself. So he says, im kemeis kol adam yimusin ele. He said like this. If these people are going to die like regular people, ubekudas kol adam yipoker Hashem, and there will be destiny of men, like all men die, lo Hashem shlochani, that means God didn't send me. Moshe means saying to them like this, I'm going to prove to you now this is coming from God. If these people are going to die natural death, that means God didn't send me. Okay? They're all chayiv misa. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, listen, he's talking to the whole community, obviously. He says, if they die a natural death, like all people die, then lo Hashem shlochani, then God didn't send me. Then you guys are right. But v'im bria yivra Hashem, if Hashem though will create a happening, upatzo Adam aspi on the earth is going to open up its mouth, ubala eisam v'skol Hashem, that Hashem is going to stir to swallow up everything and everything they have, v'yerdu chayim sha'ila, they're going to go down alive to the pit, then v'idaitem, then you should know, that these people made God angry. Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, this is the true test now. If God will make him die a natural death, that means God didn't send me. But if something's going to happen now and all these people are going to die an unnatural death, then you should know that Hashem sent me. They're not going to be sick. It's, okay. Now, what does he say? The Mefarshim explains, what is Mishim Bria Yivra Hashem? It's a funny expression to say, in Bria Yivra, if a God created a creation. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying like this, these Jews that deny my prophecy are denying God's creation of the world. That's what he's saying. Okay? He said, and therefore, if Bria of Hashem, if creation is real, let the earth open up. And in fact, the Gemara, the Mishnah's Pirkei Avos says, one of the 10 things that were created out of Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes, the 10 things they were cried, huh? The hole that swallowed the Pi Haaretz, the earth that swallowed Kari Rachin, was created out of Shabbos twilight. What does it mean, out of Shabbos twilight? It's higher than creation. It's above the 6 days of creation. Bein Hashmoshes is between, twilight is between Friday and Shabbos. It's a higher level of creation. And this ability for the earth, it doesn't mean, by the way, the earth opened up in 6 days of creation, stayed open. The ability for the earth to open its mouth and swallow in Kairach and everybody in it, that was happened at the time of creation. That's one thing. Another thing, the Mefarshim explained, Moshe Rabbeinu said like this, and he quote this from Yerushalmi, in Bria, this is the way the Yerushalmi interprets the pasuk. In Bria, if God created already from the beginning of creation, good. God, if you didn't make such a thing at the beginning of creation, Yivra Hashem, create it now. That's the double expression. V'im Bria Yivra Hashem, because if Im Yivra Hashem, what do you mean? Im Bria Yivra Hashem. He said, Im Bria, if you created it from the beginning of creation, the earth to open up, good. And if not, Yivra Hashem, make it now. So Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Hashem basically what to do over here. Vayik chaleisei ledaber es kol advanim ha'ela. Was Moshe Rabbeinu finished all these things? Vatipaga adam asher tachteim, the earth opened up. Okay.
They to communicate with the...
What?
With the shaliach, to the, solve the problem, something, you know? Moshe cannot do anything with the...
He's solving the problem very well. Get rid of all of
it. Before it happened, you know, this it still is not as strong.
He's getting rid of all the troublemakers. He tried all negotiations. It's over.
And this is all while they're a little buzzed.
No, it's the next day already. They came the morning, they were unbuzzed.
The plug is gone.
So they didn't go throughout the night?
No. Well, they didn't drink throughout the night. Keruch riled them up throughout the night. So he says like this. Vativ Torah says, Pia, the earth opened up his mouth. Vativ La'isim as Bateim, they got swallowed in. The houses got swallowed in. Ve'ez kol adam ashel ha'keruch, all the people that were involved with Keruch, meaning the slaves and everybody, or the Jewish people that lived with him, everybody was swallowed up. All the property. Now, later on we'll see, it says, B'nei Kerech le'meisu, later on in Chumash, because Kerech's children actually did tshuva. The last minute, they did tshuva, and they said, Meisha emes, v'teirasi emes. And there's a very interesting story in the Gemara in Bava Basra, a very famous story. There was one of the great Amiroim of the Gemara was Rabbi Baba Chana. And this Rabbi Baba Chana, at the beginning of the fifth parak of Bava Basra, the Gemara has 3 pages or 2 pages of what's called Lididi Chazali. I saw this crazy thing that he saw. And the Rishonim write, it was really a dream that he saw. One of the things the Gemara says over there that it happened was, an Arab once came to Rabbi Baba Chana and said to him, Come to the desert, I'll show you where Kerech was swallowed in. So he went to the place that he was swallowed in, and the Arab said to him, put your ear on the ground, and Rabbi Rachana put his ear on the ground, and he heard, Moshe Emes v'teirase Emes. Because that's what Kerech's kid said. The Medrash says, Kerech le'meisu, because they screamed the last minute, Meisha emes, v'teirase emes. And he still heard this many thousands of years later, on the ground, that where Kerech was swallowed in.
So the children stayed alive, or they died also?
They did not die. B'nei Kerech, the older kids did not die.
But they gave
they are
away,
trading,
no?
They make a trade.
Yeah, that's how Shmuel Anavi came from him. They did tshuva the last minute.
But you say the sound is still coming out of the hole, so I was wondering if...
No, because they would... They didn't.
They were alive.
Huh?
They were alive. They were buried alive, but they were alive.
He says they were given a very high place in Gan Eden. I don't know exactly what they didn't die. Lepre. But
at the time of Moshiach, will they come back?
Will they have Tchisa Mason? The Mishnah talks about it. If they probably not.
But I hear yes.
Huh?
I heard everybody open.
The Mishnah says, "Call Yisrael Yeshel Chelak Leilam Abba Chutz Chutz." Except the Mishnah is not here; it's over there. And the Mishnah says in 10th parak of Sanhedrin. You know what? Let me look at one second. Let me see if there's about Kedah. It says, Mason Midbar, Kedah Midbar, Kedah Midbar, Kedah Midbar, Kedah Midbar. No. That's where the Mishnah is.
Yeah.
Meisim. There's a whole parak about who's getting up Tchias HaMeisim or not. Okay, here it says, Kol Yisrael Yashuv Elokei Ramakol. Then it says, Rabbi Kiva, okay. Dora Maba Eno Achela Klei Maba. Dora Flog Eno Achela Klei Maba. Anchi is Doim Eno Achela Klei Maba. Miraglim Eno Achela Klei Maba. You want to Dora Midba Eno Achela Klei Maba. Vein Em to Bedin. If you're in the Dachas. No, so it doesn't say clearly about the Kaisim Kerach, but if you go like the Dara Midbar has no Chelek and Elam Abad, they're definitely part of it. The Miraglim have no Chelek and Elam Abad, the Dara Midbar have no Chelek and Elam Abad.
Miraglim
no. But there is a... In Kabbalah it says they're all getting up eventually anyway. In Kabbalah it says everybody eventually is going to be getting up anyway.
They get clear. They're not getting clear. Neshama get clear. They come.
Yeah, but certain Avedis are really pretty bad. There's a Shailif that ten Shvatim have a Chelek and Olam Abba or not. It's also discussed in the Mishnah. Okay, there's a lot of arguments between Rabbi Kiva and the Chacham over there on those Mishnahs, if they have it, they don't have.
Maybe just
don't know. Well, you know what? Let them have. Who cares? Okay, everything that they went down, everything that went Chaim Sha'ila into the pit. But Chasalem Aretz, the earth covered them up. But they were completely lost from the congregation. So now all the Jews that were saved started screaming. They ran away. Kiyamr, because they said, Pentiv Leino Aretz. Maybe the earth is going to swallow us up. Okay? So they actually ran away from the thing. The Mefarshim asked, just grammatically, it should say, not Nosu Lukailam, but Nosu Mikailam. No. Lukailam means they ran to the voice. Okay? But the bottom line is, it says Nosu, it should say Mikailam. Okay. Right. So it says that Lukailam to the voice of Meisha Emes v'Tirasi Emes. When they did Shuv and they break it and they said Meisha Emes v'Tirasi Emes, so that's what they ran away to the voices, and they said we're going to get swallowed. But Ve'esh Yotzer Meis Hashem, a fire came out from Hashem, V'Teichas Hachamishim Esayim Ishma Kriv Yakteiris. But the 250 guys, they didn't die by the earth swallowing him. They died when a fire came out and killed them. That means the only guys that died in the fire was Kerach and family, Dothan and Aviram and family. Huh?
In the pit.
Yeah. The earth opening up.
Before they go to the pit, they fired.
What did I say?
Yeah.
Fire. I'm sorry, in the pit.
The pit, yeah.
Was only Kerach and family, except his kids, and Dothan and Aviram and family. Ein Ben Pelas slept through the whole thing, like we learned. The other 250, plus it says clearly, they died by fire. So everybody got what they deserved, obviously. Okay.